No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the tamer.
Take me to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed. We are crew today, once again, for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Now, Tom Haynes from AOPA is going to join us a little bit later on. But first, we have our buddy Dennis, and he's been doing a lot recently outside of, you know, sending me emails and abusing me for not getting my private pilot license.
Yeah, see, going to that first is not going to stop us from getting on you about that.
Well, I mean, it's okay. It's encouragement. As much of abuse it sometimes comes across. I take it as constructive, even though it seems to leave a mark sometimes.
We're trying to motivate you, Greg.
Yeah, exactly. Hey.
If it doesn't hurt, it's not doing its job.
No pain, no gain.
No pain, no gain.
Fair enough. All right. Well, let's talk about stuff that Dennis wants to bring up that maybe we can abuse, because I heard that he wants to bring up a topic that I love. Is this true?
Near and dear to your heart?
Yes.
Oh, no.
What is it, Dennis?
Unfortunately, we're going to mention the drone word.
Oh, yes. He's bringing up drones.
I knew it.
And why?
Well, the FAA has finally passed their final rules, the Part 107, and they've now established some guidelines for training and certification for airmen. Well, just this week, they've released a no-charge training course online, so a certified pilot can actually take a training class and get a course completion certificate, and all they need to do then is file the appropriate paperwork with the FAA or with their flight instructor, and they can have a small unmanned aerial systems rating added to their existing pilot certificate.
Cool.
Well, there you go. So, I mean, so it's really just paperwork kind of thing.
If you're an existing private pilot or above, it's a paperwork exercise. It's a little bit of training to understand, you know, what you can and cannot do with the drone. You're not supposed to fly it over spectators and drop T-shirts because they're not participating.
Well, and they didn't order them on Amazon. They're supposed to order them first. Well, not yet, at least. Okay, well, so it's just you have to read over the guidelines, and what, you have to do a little test, too, or no?
There's a little, it's an online test, so you don't have to go out and pay, you know, your fee at the testing center. So, and that's only for existing pilots.
Right.
Yeah. Now, for you, who doesn't have a pilot's license, you would actually have to do that same training, but then you'd have to actually go to a testing center and actually take the test in a formal environment and pay the fees and whatnot, but you could actually get unmanned aircraft systems operator's certificate.
Well, I don't want to bother with that. I'm going to get my private pilot's license first.
Then your drone license.
I'll just add the drone thing. Yeah.
There you go.
As a bonus. And, yeah, I mean, it took you how long to do that, you figure?
It took me less than an hour to sit through the training course and pass the test. So I have the certificate in my hand. I just have to wait for the paperwork to catch up with it.
Okay. Well, that sounds easy enough. Are you having any other, you know, flight students asking you about that?
No, I've got one guy that was actively training because he's a marketing guy and he has drones and was working on the commercial exemption.
Right.
But with these new rules, he said, I'm still want to do it. I just don't have to do it as quick. And so he cut back to one time a week because of it. So it's been a negative impact on our business.
Well, that was just one guy, though. But you could use this.
But it's probably a negative impact across the country if I'm just, you know, a slice of the industry.
Well, okay. Well, but you don't think it could be an extra carrot to throw out there? Say, hey, get your private pilot's license, and then for another hour of work, you get a drone thing, and you can become a commercial drone operator and make some extra income to fund your flying activities.
It's not going to make the decision for somebody to either be a private pilot or not be a private pilot.
Well, yeah, but you could get this, you know, this accolade, this little extra, you know, feather in your cap that you could use to you know, get be hired as a commercial drone operator.
I don't think it's going to be a big moneymaker.
What do you think, Dennis? What are you going to do with yours, Dennis?
Well, I was thinking that I should come with you on some of your scuba cruises, and we can film this the dive boats.
Well, now I'll tell you, that's usually in some Caribbean island or some unique exotic location where there are no rules. You hear what
Still,
I'm saying?
You need somebody who's competent and certified to fly it, though, right?
Well, says you. You know, sometimes I kind of like the adventure element of that. You know, it sometimes turns into good radio. You know what I'm saying? Hey, man, were you on the last trip? The dude flew a drone into a wall. It was awesome! But, yeah, that could just be me. Yeah. I see Dennis is more responsible and that kind of thing.
See,
yeah.
I went through the training course. See, yeah. I know what you can and can't do.
Right. There so you do you have a drone? Are you going to get one now that you're a certified drone pilot?
Too? I've been flying radio-controlled airplanes for a number of years.
But that's so not a drone. Up. That's a plane.
Actually, by the rules, it actually is.
Oh, it is? Oh.
Yeah. So I have to register them just the same as a quadcopter.
Oh,
but
okay.
I do have a DJI Phantom I picked up that I can hang a GoPro underneath just for fun.
Yeah. Well, that does sound like it'd be fun. But now you can be hired to fly that thing.
Sure.
Right? So you could make a few bucks. That's what I'm saying. You could fly your drone and use it to pay for the fuel of your real flying.
Yeah, somehow I don't see that happening.
Okay.
It's like YouTube. How do you make money on YouTube? I know people are doing it. I just can't
figure
it out.
You got to go viral first.
Yes.
Well, or you make a really big drone, jump on top of it, and then shoot a video of yourself flying on your drone, and those guys get like huge amount of views. I don't think they've made any money, but they are doing that on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe this will lead to you being an actual drone pilot on an actual drone, Dennis. You think that could happen for you?
Well, at that point, aren't you just a pilot?
Well, you are. But you're a drone flying pilot. I mean, with Ed, I don't think you could do that because you don't have that. You would need some kind of special drone operating skill set that you don't have yet. Do you? Do you have that capability? Ed?
Can I fly a drone? Probably.
Yeah. Oh, you say probably, but you've never done it.
I've never tried it.
Okay.
Because I don't have a drone to try it on.
Okay. But you think that you could just pick it up?
My wife wouldn't buy me the Millennium Falcon for Christmas last year.
That's true.
I would have had one. I would have known for a fact, but no.
I will say
that. She gave me something from the heart, not something I wanted.
I will tell you, that's the one thing I evidently was off on. The first time ever, I think I've been wrong in the history of the world. Because when those Millennium Falcon...
That's shown as of itself.
Well, what are you talking about? When the Millennium Falcon toy drone came out at Christmas, I thought, hey, every kid on the block is going to have one of these on Christmas Day. It's going to be a nightmare. I haven't seen one.
No, I haven't either.
What the hell happened to them?
I don't know.
Do they not fly well? Are they not real drones? Dennis?
Why don't you research that for me?
You're a Star Wars geek. Well, come on. What happened to those?
I think it's just a lot of hype. You can find them in the regular hobby stores. People were looking for something bigger to fly a GoPro and be able to take awesome selfie videos of them.
Yeah.
Well,
I guess they were too toyish and didn't quite catch on like I thought they would. There is a video.
Let's be honest. They're all toys. Even if you hang a drone, a camera on it, it is
after
a toy.
After a certain price point, I think it goes from toy to like, oh, what are you, stupid?
Let's talk airplanes, boys.
Yeah.
Is that not an awesome toy? We can try to rationalize it and justify, but anytime we justify it, it's just rationalization.
So you would think that private pilot would refer to his plane as a toy?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I think his friends would say you have awesome toys.
I play with those toys all day long. I love it.
And the only difference between men and boys is the price of the toys.
Right. Well, true.
And the one who has the most spark plugs at the end wins.
Most spark plugs.
Cylinder index.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I didn't know it was that simple.
You get into the B-29 with the Pratt & Whitney 4630s.
Yeah.
They've got...
lots of spark
plugs. They've got four rows of nine cylinders in each engine.
Yeah.
And they got four engines.
Yeah, you
calculate.
I guess.
And how many spark plugs are in each cylinder?
Yeah, but what are you going to do with the spark plugs? I mean, like, I got a pile of spark plugs. Am I impressive or what? I want the plane. I don't want the spark plugs.
That's the
In Minnesota,
reference.
We used
That's
to
called
have
garbage, it. Ed.
up here we had a radio host who did a talk show, and he used to have a metric for how you're doing in life, and it was called the cylinder index. Basically, you were supposed to have as many cylinders as you are old. So you start tallying up. Let's see, the V6 in the boat, that's six cylinders. A four-cylinder in the car, a V8. Okay. Now we got to get going to have to get a waiver or a ruling on whether or not fractional ownership of the airplanes. Do I get to claim those four cylinders in each of those planes?
Well, you got four owners, you get one cylinder.
Well, there's 20 of us that are splitting it, but do I still get to claim those? You know, so there's some. We need to get a ruling on that.
I think we do need to get an official ruling.
Take the spark plug, whack it with a hammer, break it into pieces, and divide them up accordingly.
That. Do you know how expensive those plugs are?
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You're no saint. You got a free cab, you got a free room, someone who'll listen to your boring stories. I mean, didn't you notice on the plane when you started talking, eventually I started reading the vomit bag?
I'm getting drunk on a plane.
Fine drinks for everybody but the pilot. It's a party. Got the 737 rocking like a G6. This is some sexy leaning, pouring coke and whiskey. Told her about my condition. Got a little mile high flight attention. It's Mardi Gras up in the clouds. I'm up so high, may never come down. I'll try anything to drown out the pain. They all know why I'm getting drunk on a plane.
Ah, yes. This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along with Captain Ed. Dennis is with us, and now we are joined by Tom Haynes from AOPA. He doesn't do that kind of stuff, but he likes the tune, I'm guessing. Am I right, Tom?
I do like the tune.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a big Dirks fan.
Yes, you have cool. to be now. Yeah. If you're an aviator, how can you not like yeah. Dirks Bentley just because of that one stupid little song?
Well, you got to say, and his concert last year at Oshkosh was pretty good too.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, is he playing? He's not playing there this year, is he?
Not that I've heard. No, and I yeah. think we would have heard about it.
Yeah, yeah, I haven't heard what they got for the big entertainment for this year's extravaganza, but that's just a few weeks away or a couple weeks away. So I don't yeah. know. We'll get a lowdown on what's going on in that on a future episode of the big show. However, Tom, we got to talk to you. What I mean, you've been doing all kinds of crazy stuff lately. Am I right?
Yeah. Even by my standards, crazy thing this week. Real bucket list item for me this week, and going out to the an aircraft carrier, the USS George Washington, off the coast of Norfolk.
Now, what are the odds? Cool. What are the odds? You know, last week Ed was talking about being on the aircraft carrier Midway.
But mine was parked in San Diego Bay.
Yes.
Not the same. We were just talking about it last week that we wanted to buy an old carrier, refurbish it, turn it into a cruise ship, and fly it back and forth between Europe, and fly our airplanes out, land on the carrier, and
yeah,
we think we could sell it.
You're reading my mind. That's exactly what I described and proposed to the guys who were with me. It's like we buy an old carrier and turn it into this floating pilot's paradise kind of thing, and you know, you can, it'd just go around the world continuously. Pilots could show up whenever they wanted and just land on the runway up on top and hang out for a few days or a week or a month or whatever.
He was listening. He was either that or it was some kind of weird mind meld that he had last week.
Boy, you guys are scaring me now.
I want the flight school concession on the ship. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So did they look at you as weird as we did at Ed last week, or what? What happened when you threw that idea at him?
Well, I think when the nuclear propulsion part came up, I think it was pretty clear that that's one skill that I don't happen to have.
We just go after an old Essex class or something like that.
Yeah.
Or a Forrestal class, before they went nuclear.
What Dennis knows people. He's kind of like a, you know, like but a nuclear Greg, scientist
could,
kind of guy.
You could truly merge all three of your shows.
That's true.
Yeah, I could.
Scuba
boating and airplanes.
All we need is an aircraft carrier.
Well, I know where there's one, but it's 26 miles off the coast of Pensacola, but unfortunately it's also in 160 feet of water.
Ah, yes. There's one at the bottom of the Gulf there that we could dive down.
Now, that's the one that I've been on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's still cool.
That is all right. Cool. Yeah, but still, being on an active one sounds like he's got his beat. So, Tom, why were you doing this? Were you like... were you like taken into custody or something and shipped off to sea or something? What happened?
Right. Yeah, my past has finally caught up with me.
Yeah, what's going on?
It's an IRS problem, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, what were you doing exactly with them?
Well, they have this new flight control system on the Super Hornets that they've been working on, and they had a new software load, and they're doing flight trials for the first time off the carrier with this new version of the software. And so they'd invited some media out to witness this, and we got on board not because there's a lot of application to our usual general aviation audience, although it's really interesting technology, but it was an opportunity for us to go out and just basically spend some time on the carrier. So I took a photographer and a videographer with me, and we'll be doing some stories through our media channels about a day in the life of a carrier kind of thing. We got to meet some pilots out there who have general aviation backgrounds, and surprisingly a number of them have GA backgrounds. Everywhere we went, we were running into pilots who knew us, knew AOPA was on board, and came over and talked to us about their general aviation experience and owning airplanes. And it was really rewarding to in an environment like that to have pilots of that caliber coming up to us and talking about how much they liked flying GA airplanes.
Very cool.
So, now, the multi-million dollar question, though, is that they let you go up in one of the Super Hornets.
Well, you're certified. I remember, a few months ago, you did that on AOPA Live where you put on one of those helmets with a heads-up display. Is that the kind of software thing you're talking about, or is this totally different?
Well, that was for the F-35, and so kind of in that, the same kind of technology that I'm talking about for the landing system in the Super Hornets is built into the F-35. It's a little bit different system, but it's the same principle in that it's basically a change to the flight control. So, of course, the Super Hornet, like all those kind of airplanes, has a fly-by-wire flight control system. So when you move the stick, there's no direct connection to any of the flight controls like we have in our Cessna 172s or whatever, where we're actually moving cables and whatnot. All you're doing is telling the computer that you want to go left. And the how far you move, it tells it how much you want to go left and how fast.
Yeah.
And so it uses whatever flight controls it needs, depending on the speed and the attitude and whatnot of the airplane, to deliver what it is you've asked for. And it might use flaps. It might use rudder, aileron, uplifting flaps, you know, flaps moving both directions, whatever it needs to give you whatever it needs. So the it's unbelievable response rate for these flight controls in all kinds of directions.
Yeah, so you like, Hal, I would like to bank left 20 degrees. Dave, I cannot do that. It's not that kind of thing, but it's much faster. With what the military has
with like triple and quadruple redundancy. So it's pretty amazing. But so that's been part of the Super Hornet all along. But what's different now is the software load that adds a couple of modes to the flight control system, and the one that you use on final approach. So you come over the carrier and bank left, because they always do left patterns. And when you basically circle around and join the final, you enter this new mode called the Delta mode, and it basically allows you to focus a lot more on the meatballs. You're still following the meatball, which is sort of like a glide path marker, or sort of like a PAPI, or that kind of approach system, you know, off to a light system. And you just work at keeping the meatball in the center, and you tell the system how fast the carrier is going, which is usually about 20 or 25 knots.
All right. Now, I'm a little confused, but I will tell you the talk of meatballs is making me a little hungry. So this is some kind of light system on the aircraft carrier we're talking about, I guess,
Watch
right?
Top Gun.
Top Gun, that's what I don't know what the
Call
meatball
the
is. All right. Well, we'll figure this out. Let me pull up my Hulu, and we'll come back here next with more with Tom Haines from AOPA on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed, and also we have Dennis and our buddy from Mayo, PA, Tom Haines, who just was hanging out on an aircraft carrier having Italian food, meatballs, spaghetti. Down there in the galley, they serve you So the meatball is what, the light that you're supposed to line up on an aircraft carrier. Do I get that much right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And they've been there for a long time. That's not new. What's new is that the new flight control system will fly a perfect 3-degree profile every time, right down to the deck. Even though, remember, your runway is moving away from you at like 25 knots all the time. And so the pilot, all he has to do is basically bump the stick up, down, left, right, and once, as soon as you let go, it immediately will continue that 3-degree slope. So it's much simpler. Takes the task saturation away from the pilot and allows them to focus on a lot more stuff happening in the final 18 seconds of approach to the carrier, when a lot of things could go wrong, and makes you much more aware of what's happening around you. So it's pretty fascinating. The standard deviation for the spread of the landings and hitting the three wire, which is where you want to hit, is way smaller using this system than it is under normal operation. So it's pretty exciting to watch this. It's going to really save a lot of bolters, which is when you have to miss, which causes a lot of extra fuel, particularly when and also time, which is really important when you're trying to get the airplanes back on the ship, maybe get them refueled and launched again for a mission.
Sure. Got it.
Imagine it also reduces the stress for the pilots dramatically as well, since that's probably the most stressful thing they can do in their career.
Heck yeah.
particularly at night. It really is.
Yeah, I was going to say, night, they all say night's the worst.
So. Yeah, they do. They sure do. Got loads of stories about that from the pilots about how much they hate night carrier ops.
Yeah, but you just talked about general aviation with him, too. That's very cool.
That is.
I want to hear some of those stories and find out what else he's been up to, because that's just one of many things he's been up to. Tom Haines from AOPA Live is our guest, and we got more with him next right here on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You know that maneuver where you fly straight up until you stall and then pull out of the dive?
Uh-huh.
Can we do that today?
Nope.
Don't decide now. We'll talk when we're up.
Sky pilot, how high can you fly? You'll never
Well, yeah, you could if you're flying off an aircraft carrier and you got that special crazy system Tom was telling us about. That now it's the Navy or Marines or both have this now? Is that the deal, Tom, or what?
Well, nobody's got it yet. It's still in a testing mode. It's called Magic Carpet, by the way. Magic Carpet. So I'm sure they're going to come up with an acronym for that because that's what the military does, especially military aviation.
Well, MCR, Magic Carpet Ride, of course.
Right.
And then they'll have a whole theme song, the whole thing. I like it. Yeah. Well, okay, so that's one thing you've been doing. Did you cover that base well? I mean, that was the main thing. You were there, and then you kind of swapped some aviation stories with some of the folks on the ship or what?
Yeah, so we went out to the carrier, which was off the coast of Norfolk. In a COD, which is
the Greyhound.
Greyhound, yeah, C2, Grumman Greyhound, which has been around forever, and so that was an interesting ride in itself. Got a trap, so you know we got to catch the wire and get slammed into the seats as the thing comes to a stop.
He's talking all this like Top Gun lingo, isn't he?
Oh yeah,
because Ed is totally into it, and I don't really remember the movie that well. So Ed's like, oh yeah, I know what he's talking about. Where was Goose? Where was You know, but yeah. So that you were kind of in that frame of mind there. How many days were you doing this with these folks?
We were only there one night, but we got out there in the morning and spent about a day and a half. Actually,
yeah.
We got back the second day. You know, unfortunately, we did not get a catapult out of there though.
Yeah, that would have been
because
fun.
They actually came back to the ship or to the. Pier and dock the thing, so we get to walk off, which wasn't near as much fun as the cat. But
would have they let you actually do that, or would have they?
Yeah, most of the time when you're coming off of it, when it's at sea, you're going to come off in the catapult. But we weren't able to do that, so that's still on my bucket list. But just getting catching the wire on the way in was a lot of fun.
So did it just yank you back in, your lunch kind of spewed out on all over the window kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of like that. But we had a GoPro running, so we captured it all.
Oh, perfect.
Cool.
Well, that'll be the highest
rated. Will that make it to your outlet sources?
You're going to get the most views on AOPA Live for that episode.
I'm looking for AOPA Live,
exactly. Yeah, so I assume that'll show up on a future episode of AOPA Live here in the coming weeks?
Yep. Yeah, you'll see that pretty soon. And
very nice.
Something on Magic Carpet as well. But as I said, interesting thing was the the general aviation audience that's out there. Well, the guy who was right seat on the COD on the way out was an AOPA member, and the guy who runs the air ops on board the ship is an AOPA member. The fellow who's the project manager is a captain. Captain David Kinley, and he is the guys have been running this whole Magic Carpet thing. He's an AOPA member, passionate general aviation pilot, and is anxious to get more time after this program is over to actually start flying some more. But he's owned a Cessna 150 over the years. Ran into another GA pilot who's big into gliding.
Yeah,
and most of these guys are based in the Pax River area in Maryland, so lots of airports around there, and including some sailplane operations. So
cool. Well, I think that's really kind of like the law, isn't it? Like if you're flying airplanes, you're supposed to be an AOP member.
We like to think so.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much how it goes hand in hand.
You know, when our customers come in, one of the first things we hand them is that free 6-month membership.
There you go.
Join and get the magazine, and there's so much good it can do. And you know, I don't should probably try to track to see how many sign up after the 6 months. To see how effective it is, but
we try that.
Oh, you do?
No, I was going to say they know.
I was thinking from our customer base. I was kind of trying to.
Oh, okay. We'd be interested to know.
Yeah, I think it'd be kind of cool to know.
Good stuff. Well, yeah, and of course, you can follow what Tom's doing on AOPA Live every week. It's a really cool little video program they do to keep everyone informed. So, I mean, what else you been up to? I mean, that obviously was a pretty big event. But I know that isn't the only thing you've been up to in the last week or two. Am I right?
Actually, that is pretty much it.
That was it?
Greg, sometimes I have to spend time in the office. I know you find that hard to believe.
Get out. You're like, he edits magazines and manages departments and people. And so you haven't even been able to fly your own plane a little bit lately? You just been
Well, I flew it down to Norfolk there for the aircraft carrier thing and flew that back. Had some interesting weather on the way back that we were dodging. And it really gave me a new appreciation, or I guess additional appreciation, for the technology that we have available to us in our general aviation airplanes today. That when I learned to fly, and I know Dennis just got his instrument rating a few months ago, but whack. You know, let me be a geezer here for a second. Mm-hmm. Back when I got my instrument rating back in 1989 or something, you know, we had none of this. We were lucky to have a storm scope. That was the coolest thing we had.
Oh, yeah, that was cat's meow, that and North Star Lorien.
There you go, man. Hey, we must be about the same age.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. So, I mean, so you encountered some nasty weather that, you just saw in your particular service and you were able to just avoid it and it was no big deal?
Yeah.
Or what do
well,
you mean?
Well, yeah, see, that's the cool thing is you don't have to encounter it much anymore. You can avoid it, which we had scattered thunderstorms around and we just could see them all on the display with the NexRad and the storm scope combined. And working with ATC, we were able to get around a big cell sitting right over Dulles International Airport, and airliners backed up everywhere. And we could see all that traffic on the display as well.
Ooh, yeah.
And understand why they were vectoring us further to the west than I thought they ought to. But it was to keep us away from the traffic stacked up trying to get into Dulles. So the situational awareness that we have in our airplanes today, that's available at least. Not everybody has it, I understand. But
well, what do you have? What do you have in your vehicle? Can you tell us? What are you flying in right now?
Well, sure. I've got, it's an old Bonanza. It's a 1972 airplane.
Yeah.
But it's got a lot of capabilities with the panel upgrades we can do. So I've got a Garmin G500, a Garmin GTN 750, and display NexRad XM weather on it. And
okay.
I also have ADS-B out. So I have the TISB, FISB weather and the TISB weather traffic on board as well. So
okay.
Lots of great information to help you find your way around traffic and storms.
Exactly. But being that you see all the latest and greatest stuff coming out to the industry, are there things like on your radar that you're thinking, I got to get this in my plane? Are you having that
of
all
course.
The time? Or do you?
Absolutely.
I know. But I mean, so, okay, I'll take one here. I'll take one of these. Or is it like an ongoing process, I assume? Or
Well, the nice thing about when you get a glass panel like that is from there on out, a lot of the features are software upgrades. And mm-hmm. so the idea of having to put in a lot of new boxes and heavy installation costs, mm-hmm. a lot of the new features you can get are just simply software upgrades, which aren't necessarily cheap because they do like to charge for those.
Oh, yeah.
But the features you get are pretty amazing. So I've had a couple of software upgrades already to this panel that I put in only 3 years ago that have delivered some really nice new capabilities.
Do you have you done anything with that Garmin streaming where you can have it talk to the ForeFlighter and move the flight plan up and back?
I haven't that, but when you say what's next on your list, that's next on my list.
I just think I would love to put that in all the rental airplanes because that just to me sounds so efficient.
Well, explain. I'm not
okay,
sure.
Okay, so you plan your flight in ForeFlight.
Yeah.
Okay. They have now come out with a device from Garmin that will receive from your ForeFlight, just like I can transfer my flight plan to your ForeFlight if we're on the same Wi-Fi network. You climb in the airplane, it Bluetooths to this device. And it sends the flight plan you planned back here at home on ForeFlight up to the GPS, so you don't have to re-enter the flight plan.
Ah.
And then so you're flying along and ATC reroutes you. You change it on the panel in the airplane. You don't have to go back and reprogram your iPad. It resets it in the
so
iPad.
So it syncs
too.
Everything up.
Exactly.
For you.
Exactly.
So you're kind of like airdropping it to your Garmin.
Exactly.
Ah, yeah. Nice.
Exactly. So yeah, I think it's only not too bad, $1,500 something like that.
Yeah.
Device.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, it's not that bad of a as far as reducing pilot workload, making technology seamless and easy to use. I think it's well worth it.
I'm kind of
Only 1.5 aviation monetary units, AMUs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll go with that. No, I'm waiting for this technology you were playing with on the aircraft carrier. So I can just, Hal, can you get that glide soap 3% for me down for the red? It's not even moving. It'll be a cakewalk for you.
Don't be surprised if that technology does trickle down.
Well, I should.
Are there, and we start to get more and more of these glass cockpits, and like Tom said, it's a software feature. Just enable it.
I think it's just Greg finding another reason to delay.
No, there's no delays. it's just toys. It's about the toys, having some cool new toys.
Well, you can't play
with
the toys unless you can fly the plane.
Well, if it's going to fly for me.
They're still requiring their guys to know how to get the night traps with or without magic carpet.
Oh! I'll rub the genie lamp.
Maybe there you go.
Make a wish. I don't know. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Exploring underwater wrecks are one of the coolest things you can do as a diver. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll explain why they can also be the most challenging next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to dan.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
The allure of an underwater shipwreck is undeniable, and most are easily explored from the outside. However, as inviting as a wreck may seem, never enter an underwater structure without proper training and orientation. When anything obstructs your direct path to the surface, the mastery of additional diving skills are needed to mitigate the risks. Get properly trained before boarding the ship. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
They always listen to the tower. They never question the authority of the tower.
Well, the tower's telling us to hold.
Well, so what about that? Just once, I want to hear,
the tower's telling us to hold, but you might notice I'm rumbling along the grass. If you look out the right, you'll see all those aircraft lined up on the runway. The tower key sent us, we're number 19 for takeoff. I say we're number one.
What's the tower going to do?
Hey, you! You can't exhibit that type of behavior!
You're right, I shouldn't have done that.
No, I should have listened better. If you need me, I'll be up in the clouds.
You must be a pilot to know that move.
You can really fly. And while you're up there, turn around and touch the sky. I guess the point of getting out is never saying goodbye.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed. Also, we got our buddy Dennis from AOPA. Tom Haynes is with us. So, yeah, all we got to do is get these electronics to just go through an upgrade, and our planes will be flying us, and I won't have to learn anything. I will learn. I kid. I'm going to do this, but I do like the fact that the electronics are getting smarter and making it easier for schmoes like me to fly my plane. Am I alone there, Tom? What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're alone.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
We still all prefer the J3 Cub and radios.
Right.
Open door.
Well, I'm with the millennials that just prefer to use their thumbs to get through life. Yeah. You hear what I'm saying? Yes, I know you do. But I don't know. We got Air Venture coming up in Oshkosh. Are we seeing some new developments in that world that, some of that military technology, will it trickle down to GA for us? What do you think?
Well, I think that at least the opportunity exists under some of the things that are happening right now with the FAA that allow that kind of technology to have a better chance of finding its way into our legacy airplanes. We talked, I think, a few weeks ago, a couple months ago, about this non-TSO'd avionics and other systems that are becoming available to be installed in certified airplanes. And this is the kind of equipment that in avionics we see in the experimental airplanes that is fabulous situational awareness, really helpful in the cockpit, but not available in our legacy airplanes. And finally, the doors creaked open. And I think at Air Venture this summer, you're going to hear a number of announcements where other companies, in addition to Dynon, which sort of entered the fray back at Sun and Fun, are going to be bringing in some very capable non-TSO'd avionics. And the FAA has been really pretty cooperative with them. We've been talking to them a lot about this and encouraging them to be receptive to this, and they've been pretty open to it, I got to say. So I think we're on the threshold of some pretty significant advances in what we can do with our older airplanes.
Yeah. Now, of course, I know what non-TSO airplane avionics are, but for those people listening right now that are not totally clear, we should probably explain.
Right. Yeah.
For everybody on the radio listening, that unlike Greg, yes. Okay.
Yes. Right.
You're welcome.
Non-TSO, that's a technical standards order, is what the TSO stands, or the TSO part stands for, technical standards order. Mm-hmm. And basically that means that the FAA has blessed this technology, whatever the system is,
right,
that and certified it, approved it for installation in a certified airplane, which is what most of us fly, a Cessna 172 or whatever.
Yeah.
But you have to go through a whole lot of hoops to do that. And in Part 23, which is what all this stuff is certified under, Part 23 of the Federal Aviation Regulations, has become very complicated in the last 25 years. It's way more complicated than it used to be, mostly because of the big business jets and far more sophisticated airplanes out there that require, you know, much higher levels of certification than our 172 or my old 45-year-old Bonanza.
Right.
So what we've been saying all along is, you know, let's create a less safe product. We want one that can demonstrate that it meets the intent of Part 23, but do so in a much less prescriptive kind of manner. Let me show you the performance of this piece of equipment and how it meets the intent of Part 23 without making me go through some very expensive testing to demonstrate it to you, the FAA, how it is you want it to be demonstrated. Let me just show you that it works and it's safe.
Got it.
And they've been pretty receptive to that.
Yeah.
That's truly amazing that they're starting to open up like that, because I would have said 5 years ago, we would all have said that if you were telling us this was happening, we would have said you're on drugs, because it shows that they're starting to progress with the times, which,
yeah,
you know, we bash them a lot, you know, on the show.
Well, it may go back to the whole drone thing.
Well, but
that kind of pushed them a little bit, like, hey, we're going to have to move faster to keep up with the market here,
yeah,
you think?
Yeah.
But look at the technology that's in a drone. You've got accelerometers,
right,
and GPSs and things in there for that drone to keep itself steady and level.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't put that type of electronics into the autopilot of a certified GPS because Part 23 says it has to be a gyroscope, it has to be electrically driven or vacuum driven. There's all these prescriptive, it has to be this way and you can't deviate. But now we have so much technology, it opens up other ways to accomplish the same thing, like Tom was saying. Let me prove to you that this works and meets the intent of what you meant rather than this prescriptive set of rules. And I think it's going to open up the door to a lot of new things. I mean, the FAA has been under a lot of pressure to reduce loss of control incidents. Mm-hmm. And one of the big pushes is how can we get things like more autopilots and reduce the costs? As Captain Clay said a couple of weeks ago, just the altitude board for his TSO certified autopilot is going to cost $10,000.
Yeah, I believe the iPhone 7 Siri is actually going to be a pilot. She can fly your plane for you. No?
But the problem is I've got the wrong connector.
No! Exactly. I could be wrong.
We'll go wireless.
A slight chance. But yeah, I mean, it's good that they're making some changes. But you're hearing rumblings in Oshkosh. There's going to be some announcements from companies that are working with the FAA to get their electronics out there quicker. Is that right, Tom?
Sure are, and I think that's just the beginning. There's a whole lot of other systems, including autopilots. You know, the dentist was mentioning that. I mean, that's another really important thing from a loss of control standpoint is digital autopilots with flight envelope protection. It's coming.
Well, great stuff, and you can get all the latest at AOPA, and check out Tom Weekly at AOPALive.org. And that'll do it for this week. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.